Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd, along with Dana Lee. And the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. I'm going to read a disclaimer, and then I'll go over a few other things, and we'll go ahead and get started. Please note this show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this email, the content of the show, or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that, basically, is if you have something where you could help somebody else and help yourself in the process, it's always good to do that. When it comes to deal making, if you don't have the money and somebody else needs a deal done and they have money to buy it, find what they want, get paid, and use the money for what you need. It's kind of just as an example. Website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Telephone number 24/7 is 310-358-7087. Email fci@packbell.net. Twitter is @KenShepherd and Facebook is Facebook/KenShepherd and Facebook/CreativeFlipsInc. We usually have $300 to $500 million in process, depending on where we are. I've been doing this about 30 years. All the shows in the archives are free. Please tell everybody in the world to listen, download, play them for their friends, and join our radio audience and become part of our network in general. We've closed a lot of business. We have $80 million in closings on our website, many more that are not on there for confidentiality reasons. And we also did a soft proof of funds in the recent past for up to $500 million. One of the ways you can connect with investors is Ken R.E. Radio. That's KENREradio.com. Connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost and meet a lot of people and close deals and let us know whatever you close. So we're very happy to have you with us today. Again, KenREradio.com is a wonderful source, and we use it every day ourselves. And it's the biggest on the Internet, and we'd love you to become part of our community there. So thank you very much, and we're about to get ready to the show, so let's talk about the show today.
So we hope everybody's doing really well, and thanks very much for being part of our audience. The audience is growing. We're getting more and more people listening, calling us, bringing us things to help fund, and that's really why we do this, is to help create more relationship with you as our listeners and also to help you get more deals financed through our relationships and kind of just create more networking and use this show as a networking tool. So Dan is with me. Dana, can you hear me okay?
Sure. Good morning, everybody.
So we always are trying to figure out where the problems are. Deals in general, one of the things that we are starting to see even more and more, and we've always felt, is that people that are in the middle of these deals need help with what's involved and what is an investor looking for, an investor or a lender. And when an investor or a lender looks at a deal, they do what's called an underwriting. An underwriting is basically looking at the transaction, looking inside the deal, and out, and seeing everything that they need before they issue you a commitment to fund with a term sheet or an offer or however they're going to do it. Underwriting also works when you're purchasing properties because you have to do what's called the due diligence. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to Dana because she actually has been an underwriter for many years. She understands this subject inside and out. She's excellent at it. And I just brought her into a deal that we're meeting with a guy today who spent $4 million on, unfortunately, in a business that's not doing very well, but we want to figure out how to help him make it do well. And I asked him, I said, what do you have as additional collateral to the failed business or the failing business? And he has a net worth of $23 million. $25 million in assets, $2 million in liabilities. So we just need to find him some capital out of his balance sheet to try and help him. So I'm bringing Dana in to help me with that deal and the underwriting of that transaction. So Dana, let me just kind of turn it over to you so you can talk a little bit about what underwriting is, how it works, why it's important, what you look for. And I want to say one thing before I bring Dana in. It's really important to respond to lenders promptly. If a lender asks you for something, get it to them immediately. If you don't have it, tell them, I've got to go get it. If you have it, get it to them immediately. One of the things lenders look for is responsibility. Investors are the same way. Proactivity will get you a lot than reactivity. Proactivity means moving first. Okay, so Dana, go ahead.
So that's actually a great place to start, moving first. One of the things that we have as a goal for this year is to meet 10 businesses and help them create. We're talking about fix and flip rehab businesses like the one you dream of. Help them create a financial arm of their business so that you have relationships you can constantly go to and get your funding for your deals. So moving first means to give the lender a really good view of who you are as a company and who you are and who your asset is or what your asset is as to value as is and to come. So with that in mind, we have put together a really good package for folks to learn how to use to create their handshake with a lender. One is a personal financial sheet with a schedule of REO attached, and the other is a one-page executive summary. We also have about 20 questions or so that we send out to folks that if when you answer these questions thoroughly, you can fill out these two documents very well. And it's like when you go to a bank for a loan, you're going to dress a little nicer than you normally do. You're going to know your property inside out, and you're going to go and stick out your hand and say, I'm Dana Lee, and I'm here to do business with you. Well, this is that kind of handshake. So one of the other things we do is follow up that with a list of documents that you want to have available, that you want to make readily available. And so you set the tone for the whole way the process goes if you are upfront and professional. Underwriting. What would you like to know about underwriting, Ken?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important for people to understand it doesn't really matter how far you are in your real estate career. It matters that you act responsibly, okay? And we don't want you to come to us until you have a property under contract or somebody else has a property under contract that you're going to partner with them on or something like that. Because if you come to us prior to that, we're just going to refer you back to the radio shows that tell about how to tie up a property and how to get involved with the asset. Because we're not in the business of making offers, writing offers back and forth, this, that, and the other thing. We're in the business of financing. So you have to have that asset either under your control as an option or a purchase, or you have to own the asset for us to really help you. And
one of the things that – I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, because if we issued term sheets and offers on everything before it was tied up, we'd spend our whole day doing that, issuing these what's called pre-qualification letters. And, you know, we're really in the business of funding, not in the business of qualifying. So since our funding is not credit-driven, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. We don't need to do the pre-qual stuff. However, if somebody needs a proof of funds or something like that, and they're in the middle of a deal and they've got the price worked out with the seller and everything else, and they just need a proof of funds, we've done that before. We'll do it again. It's not a problem. We just recently sent a letter to a group that has a large investor base for up to $10 million so they could move us up to the highest level inside their system. And there's very few people out of their 150,000 people who are at the level that we are. And they understand that because we immediately responded when they said, well, in order to move you from level 2 to 4, we need something from your attorney that says that you have the ability you do. We delivered that within 24 hours. The point I'm making is underwriting is all about responsibility. It's all about getting the documents together that anybody would ask for, including us, so that we can take a deeper dive and really get all the documents that we need in order to take a look at your transaction. Part of that is just being proactive. Like I said before, you have to.
So let me just run down some of those documents for you. And this is from a lender's perspective. This is the kind of information a lender wants to know about who you are and what your asset is. So first of all, how are you going to take title to this property? Are you going to take it in your own name or business name? Lenders really prefer that you do it in a business name, in my experience. But you're going to want the property address, the parcel number. You're going to want to know, you want to show the lender what kind of property it is. Is it a single family, a duplex, a triplex, a multifamily, 150 doors? What's the unit mix? Is it all one bedrooms? Is it one and two bedrooms? And how many of each? What is your purchase price? And do you have it under contract? They're going to want to know things like, is it a short sale? If it's not a short sale, what kind of transaction is it? And when do you want to close it? Does the lender have access to the property? And if so, how so? Is it occupied or vacant? How much do you need for the repairs? Are the repairs out of pocket or do you want to have a holdback? That means, do you want them to do draws? And what are your plans? Are you adding a bed or bath? Are you taking it from 400 square feet to 1,500 square feet? And if you are, then you're going to want to talk about what the existing square footage is and what it looks like. You're going to want to show them some little sketches. And what is the after repair value? Who is the signer if you're vesting it in your entity? Are you the signer? And does your documentation, your articles of incorporation, do they tell the lender Joe Smith is the signer for Joe Smith's investments? Because they need to. So they're going to want to know things like, does the property have homeowners association fees? And how much in reserves do you have to work with this property? And what's the maximum amount you can come in with? So they're going to start taking a look at you after they take a look at the property. And a lot of times we're going to lend on the asset, but we want to know who's driving the deal, who's driving the car. So how long are you going to need the loan? 6 months, 12 months? And how many deals you've done in the past? One of the ways that you can do that, you can let them know who you are very easily, is to send your articles of incorporation and your organization operating agreement, but also send a bio of each of the owners of that company with at least 20% equity in the company. So I'm Joe Smith, and I've done 3 remote fix and flips. I'm now going to do a fix and flip in my local economy, and it is, as it sits, it's worth $100,000. I'm getting it for $40,000. It's going to be worth $200,000. And here's why it's going to be worth $200,000. These are the sold comps for properties as it sits right now. This proves that these sold comps that as it sits right now prove that it is the as-is value of it. And these are the sold comps for the property as I intend to finish it. So right now it's a 2-1. And I'm going to turn it into a 3-2. So I'm going to show you 3 sold comps within the last 180 days of properties that are 2-1s in the condition the property is in which I'm buying it. And then I'm going to show you at least 3 sold comps of 3-2s very close to this subject property in the and closed within the last 180 days. 3 months or better, But if you have to push it for your market, you can. So, minimum of 3 comps. They should be identical in number of bedrooms and bathrooms. They should be within a mile of your subject property. You got to look at your property as it is and as it will be done. And we need to know the closing dates on the comps are within the last 90 days, and you only push it out to 180 if you have to. Don't cherry pick your comps, because the appraiser hired by your lender will not cherry pick comps. They're going to take the most similar, closest, and latest closing comps to get a value on your property. Articles of incorporation, operating agreement, 2 years tax returns, business. If you have a business that's 2 years old and you've been doing this, they're going to want your business taxes. They're going to want the personal guarantor tax returns. Now, the personal guarantor is anybody with 20% equity in the business. Now, you may have one person whose financials look better, whose credit looks better, and you can put that person first, but they're going to want to see everybody. They're going to want to see an executed purchase agreement. They're going to want a copy of your driver's license. If you go in to open a bank account, they want to see who you are. It's a federal rule now that you have to show who you are. So you're going to show them who you are. And then please, please, with your executive summary and in your second batch of documents, be ready to present the cost of construction breakdown. And it should include the draw or pay schedule that you expect. You have anything to add to that, Ken?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's what you've said is all very important. Obviously, we're focusing this particular conversation on finding houses that you're going to repair and then resell or refinance after you fix them up and keep them for rental, or do a trade with them or whatever you're doing after the fact. But the most important thing is that you have to be prepared with all the documents. Now, don't be shy, in fact, that you say, look, this is my first deal, okay? And I don't know how to fill out these documents. If you don't know how to fill something out, then just write us and ask us, and we'll help you answer how to fill it out. But you've got to be proactive. You know, you've got to write, you've got to say, okay, I've got this property tied up. Now I want to buy it, and I need your help to buy it. And then we say, okay, how much do you have to put in? Well, I don't have anything to put in. We say, okay. Do you have somebody else that has something to put in? We'll show you ways and we'll come up with solutions for you that you may not think of. Similar to this guy with the net worth of $23 million who invested $4 million in his business, the same thing I said to the guy who brought me the deal. I said, does your colleague personal guarantee he's willing to put up? Yes. Does he have any assets that he can put up for collateral over and above the business that's failing? Yes. What kind of assets? I don't know. Well, then we need to talk to your client. So we need to talk. We got on the phone with a colleague yesterday. And then he says, well, I don't have that many assets. And then he sends me his balance sheet. And he has $23 million in net worth. And he's an attorney, by the way. So, you know, but he's lost. He's lost in this deal. He's not lost in the courtroom, but he's lost in this deal. And we think we have some ideas. But the whole idea is it's all about looking inside the car. It's like, when your car breaks down, the first thing you do is you open the hood, right? And you say, why isn't the car running? Now, of course, if you have a flat tire, that's a different story. But if the car's not running and the brakes don't work, you know it's the brakes need to be fixed. If the car's not running and the engine doesn't work, then you have to look under the hood. We're looking under the hood of the deal, okay? We know that you have a vehicle. We know that it can be fixed. We know that where it's located. And then we just have to kind of dig inside the transaction. Anybody who's going to give you money, anybody, whether it's for a loan, a purchase, a partnership, is going to want to know what you're all about. Okay? If you're buying from somebody, they're going to want to know who you are. They're going to want to know a little bit about you. They're going to get comfortable that you can perform. If you're selling an assignment to somebody, they don't frankly really care, because they're just taking over your position. But they may have a lot of questions for you about the kind of things we're talking about that they may ask you, like, when was the house built? Well, I don't know. Well, okay, I don't know. But here's how I would answer that. If I didn't know, I'd say, when was the house built? Let me check with the title company. That's all. Let me check with the title company is a good one, because it shows that you know that answer. And or you could say, I don't know the answer to that, but let me find out for you, and I'll call you back. And then you call the title company, or you look at the public records, and you find out how many square feet it is, and if it's legally the same square footage as the person's telling you, because sometimes people add on to houses without getting permits, and that's called an illegal add-on. And there's all these little nuances that go along. But all of this stuff comes out in underwriting, okay? Underwriting is no more than a fancy term for research, okay? Research, looking inside a deal, taking a look at all the different parts of it, and trying to determine, you know, work, how do we make it work, what documents haven't you provided us with, and how quickly can you get us what we're missing. We hear from people every day who say, like I had a guy call me the other day, he goes, well, how much would a loan cost me if I get the property under contract? Well, how am I supposed to know that until you get the property under contract? I mean, who's going to be on the title? And what's their credit look like? And where's the property? And what's the loan-to-value ratio? And all these different things that go into underwriting. These are all questions anybody's going to ask you, whether it's a bank, a private investor, doesn't matter. We're all going to ask a lot of the same questions. Now, when we're on the other side of the table and we're going out to get capital to build our lines of credit or stuff, we can ask all the same questions that you're getting asked right now. Okay, do you have a corporation? Is it in good standing? Where's the corporation located? Where's your corporate headquarters? You know, all these things will be in your articles of incorporation. Now, if you're just an individual, you can start a DBA. That's what I did when I first started. It costs you very, very little money. You don't have to incorporate. It's not as protective as a corporation, but at least it shows you have a business. Rather than Bob Smith at such and such an address, you can be Bob Smith Enterprises at that same address. For very little money, I think you have to put it in the paper and, you know, and show like three times it's been in the paper, and then all of a sudden you're a business. Very simple. Now, we're not here to talk about corporate liability versus personal liability and all that. That's stuff that you can talk to attorneys and CPAs about. What we're talking about is have all your research done, okay? Because we dig deep. Okay, and anybody that's going to lend you money or get you as and partner with you or invest with you is probably want to do the same thing. Who are you? Where do you come from? Do you have any history have you had any criminal issues? I know for me, if somebody's had a criminal issue, I'm going to want to know a lot more. I'm going to want a real explanation for why. Maybe it was your fault, maybe not. But, you know, have you had any traffic tickets? I don't care about that. You know, are you party to any lawsuits? You know, does anybody have any liens on any of your assets? You know, all this stuff comes up when you do title. Now, people sell properties without going through title sometimes on what's called a quick claim deed. Okay, I don't agree that that's a good idea, because you really don't have a title information report that really tells you what's going on with the property, and you have no insurance on the transfer of that title. But that's a whole other conversation about title insurance, and if you want, you can just call any local title insurance agency in your local area, and you can ask them all the questions you want, and they'll be more than happy to help you, because what they do for a living is issue title policies. So they have to know that stuff, and they'll help you, okay? Where people are around you to help you, okay? Don't let any of this stuff frighten you, because it's not it's a lot of stuff. I mean, when Dana writes a list of stuff to people, it's daunting. It's long, you know, and it's comprehensive, you know, and it's designed to say to you, we're serious about helping you. We have capital. But if you think capital just walks up and just hands itself to you without you doing anything, now it may say no qualifying on the loan. It may say that we don't care about how much assets you have and what your credit score is and all that. All that's true, okay? But that doesn't mean that we're not going to look at the asset if we're not going to look at you. We're going to look at you secondarily if we're doing a no-qualifying loan on the assets, on the credit side, because we're going to look at the asset for our recovery. So we're going to say, okay, what's it worth? How much is it worth fixed up? What experience do you have in doing this? If you don't have experience, who's around you that does? And we can walk you through it because everybody has to start somewhere, okay? And we can help you with that process, but you have to be the one to follow the instructions that we give you. And I've had people call me and say, I'm so frustrated with all the stuff you want. I can't help that, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, we're lending either our money or we're bringing in investors who trust us, okay? If you were an investor on the other side of the table, you're going to want to know as much as you possibly can about the person you're considering giving the money to because you want to protect your investment.
Let me say that a different way. I'd like to say that a different way. We talked about the four levels of investing, with being the bank being the fourth level of investing, with fix and flip being the first, or wholesale and then fix and flip. So when you get to that fourth level and you are the bank, having met the kind of standards that Ken and I are laying out for you and helping you with today, you will be a better lender. You will be in a better position to know what to ask for, what to lend on, how to lend. So take the steps with us, be bold, take action, and it will pay off.
And the other thing I want to say is one of the reasons we do this and give it all away for free is that we want to help people really grow. We want to create jobs, feed families, fund companies, create legacy. Every time you close a deal, all four of those things happen.
Right.
Good for everybody. You know, it's a win-win. I mean, I watch Shark Tank a lot. I learned a lot from Shark Tank. I've called people up who have been on Shark Tank and offered them money and offered to help them because I like what they're doing. And the sharks didn't give them a deal. If they did, there's no point to it. But if they didn't,
right.
There is a point to it. Well, there's not. But so lots of times, you know, the point being is that they go through the same kind of thing. And when they make an offer, their offer, what they don't say on the air is they do their due diligence after the fact to make sure that you pass all of their criteria before they'll invest with you, okay? And they have the right to pull out. And by the way, you do as well once they get to the final offer. If you decide you don't like it.
Oh, I expect to get on there, you have to submit a lot of documentation.
Oh, you do. You have to submit a lot of documentation. But the point being is that what we're talking about here is that when you go out to put together financing, if you're financing it yourself, then it's up to you to do the research. Okay, if you're looking for financing from a second person, from another party, I should say, then it's going to be up to you to provide them with all that same research. Now, once you've done it a number of times, it's easier and easier because it's always the same stuff. It's just different people, unless you're doing business with the same people over and over again, which hopefully you are. But if it's different people, it's always going to be the same list of documents. And it takes a while to understand how this all works, but it's really not that complicated. Dana, can you tell people how they can get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you?
Sure. Reach out to us at our email address, dealswithkd@gmail.com. That's DEALSWITHK for Ken, DANA@gmail.com. You can text us or you can call us at 269-849-9510. Please include your name, your email address, your phone number, the best time of day to reach you, and how we can be of service to you. And please be aware that if you call us, you'll get a better and quicker response if you text or email me.
And in my case, if you send me an email to fci@patbell.net is the best way to reach us. But let me add one more thing. If we don't get back to you right away, like in a day or two, I do this all the time, and I found out that it works really well. I've written to people that I need a response from, and I just say, are you okay? Is everything all right with you? It's not like you're being disrespectful. You're just saying, are you okay? And people like that because they feel like if you say, are you okay, you're trying to find out how they're doing, and then they call you, generally feel guilty, and they call you back or write you back or something. Anyway, we hope everybody's having a great week and has a wonderful week. We're off the air, but I think that this has been a great show, and I'm glad we did it, and I hope it helps everybody. And please reach out to us, and we look forward to working with you, and all the best to you in your future endeavors, and we'll see you again on the radio next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.